In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm going back to John 6. This is done live. Jesus said unto them, these are his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, he that eats me shall live because of me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna in the desert and are dead, but he who eats this bread shall live forever." Now, this was a very difficult saying for the disciples. And Jesus has to say, well, I'm going to tell you what the disciples did. Verse 66, John 6. "From that time, many of his disciples left him and walked no more with him." From that time, many of his disciples left him and walked no more with him. Why? And I'm talking about verse 64 and 65. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except he be drawn by the Father." No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him, unless the Father draws her. To be drawn by the Father means that we walk toward Jesus and give our life to Jesus. And the disciples left. Now, what I'd like to talk about today is what we all have in our hearts. That is the desire for the truth, the desire for Jesus. But I want to tell you, many people are looking for love in the wrong places. The desire leads them not to Jesus, but to the New Age, or to the tarot card reader, or to the fortune teller, or to the pagan. The desire leads them someplace different. That's why it is very important that the church keep on preaching Christ, crucified, died, and was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. That's why it is so important that the church never stops preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that desire is in everybody. That's why we need to be on the television. We need to be on the radio. We need to be out in public proclaiming Jesus, because that desire is only met when one comes to the Savior, as the Father draws people to Jesus. You know, I know people that have a desire for Jesus, but they thought it was to get rich and make millions of dollars. I have nothing against people making millions of dollars, but if they do not come to Jesus, what good is the $1 million or the millions of dollars? It's no good. So desire will lead us someplace. Desire, ultimately, is that desire for God. What did Augustine say? "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. But there are many gospels going out, many people saying many things. And if the church is not clear about Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, people will buy the lie and not even know it. Let me give you an example. This happened many years ago. I was in Nantucket, and these young kids were preaching the gospel. It was beautiful. I was there with my Mickey Mouse shirt on, and I went to listen to them. And they were very good. They preached the gospel. They preached the cross. And they gave the opportunity for people to come to Jesus. There was a man there who said, I am a Catholic, and the Catholic Church believes that you don't need Jesus. You can have Buddha. Well, I stood up with my Mickey Mouse shirt and I said, I'm a Catholic too, but I'm also a priest. And I want to tell you, the Catholic Church teaches that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, and that the Father draws people to Jesus, and that the truth is Jesus. Do you know what Buddha said on his deathbed? And the guy looking at me, I said, Buddha said, I still seek the truth. Jesus said on the night before he died, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there they were preaching the gospel, but someone else had another gospel. You know, it could be Buddha, it could be Hare Krishna, it could be Mickey Mouse. No, no, no. No, it's only Jesus. The Father draws us to Jesus. But that desire is in everybody. And if the gospel is not proclaimed, and people do not see that people are living the gospel, living for Jesus, they're going to go to another gospel. They're going to go to another person. They're going to go someplace else. That desire is never fulfilled until the Father draws people to Jesus Christ. And you see, these disciples that had left everything to follow Jesus, they say this saying is too hard. We cannot deal with it. And Jesus would say, well, the Father did not draw you, you know. He says to the disciples, will you too leave? Will you too leave? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. I'm going to be looking now at John 1. John 1. And we're going to find two disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist. They had desire for the truth placed in their hearts, and they're following John the Baptist. Again, the next day, after John stood with two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he says, there behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard John the Baptist speak, and they followed Jesus. They were just captivated. John just said, behold the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, the one who will die for our sins. That's what's implied. And these two disciples, they were John and Andrew, left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. They had a desire in their heart, and their desire was for the truth, and they immediately left and followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where do you live? And Jesus said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why does the disciple say it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Because that's when their life was changed. They did not only see a physical place where Jesus lived, but Jesus lived in the presence of the Father. Come and see. Come and see. You see, they were seeking truth. They had the desire for the truth. And that desire was met in Jesus Christ. That desire was met in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and see. I'm telling you, the need to preach the gospel, that Jesus Christ loves you, that Jesus the Lord gave his life on the cross for you, that Jesus Christ was buried and on the third day rose from the dead, and he sends the Holy Spirit. The need for the gospel to be preached in season and out of season, when convenient and not, because everyone has a desire. And if we do not preach the gospel, I will tell you, they will have desires for the wrong thing. They will have desires for the wrong thing. Now listen, Andrew and John the evangelist, they had a desire and they followed John the Baptist. But immediately when they see Jesus, they leave the Baptist to give their life to Jesus. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when their life was changed. 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When was your life changed? Could you pinpoint some event caused you to give your life to Jesus? If you gave your life to Jesus, the Father was drawing you, And he used your desire to follow Jesus. You see, desire must lead someplace. And desire, when it's really true desire, will always lead to Christ. Christ who gave his life for us. Christ who died for us. Christ who was buried for us. And Jesus who rose from the dead. And so these two disciples follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. Now listen to what happens. One of the two, which were John's disciples, now Andrew, that's his name, went after his brother, Simon Peter. He first found his brother, Simon, and said unto him, "We have found Messiah," which is interpreted, the Christ, the Anointed One. And he brought Peter, Simon, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld Simon, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which means rock. "You shall be called rock." Why? Because on this rock he will build his church. Not only on the rock of Simon Peter, but on the rock of his profession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," that he makes in another place at Caesarea Philippi. You see, Peter, John, and Andrew had desire, and that desire led them to Jesus. Where does your desire lead you to? That's an interesting question. Where does your desire lead you to? Jesus is beckoning you, "Come unto me, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Desire, when it's really fully in bloom, leads us to the cross. That's why the gospel must be proclaimed. That's why we have to tell people what Jesus is doing in our lives, how he is manifesting his glory through us. You see, John knew this. John the evangelist knew this. And John's gospel, the last verse of the last chapter, said, "And there were many other things which Jesus did. If they were all recorded, I suppose all the books in the world would not be able to contain them." Isn't that amazing? That there are many other things that Jesus did, you know? If you're a preacher, you have to tell what people, what Jesus is doing. Because there are many other things that Jesus did. Were they all recorded? All the books in the world could not contain them. You must realize that Jesus Christ, through the power of the Spirit, draws us to himself by the Father's drawing, but he wants to do things. He wants to see his will fulfilled in us. He wants to do things. A friend of mine says, "You know, I go to church, but I never hear the priests say anything that Jesus does, that there's no witnessing." That's kind of pathetic. That's kind of pathetic because, you know, it's so important that we witness to Jesus. It's so important that we let people know what Jesus did and what Jesus is doing. Now, there are many more things that Jesus did. Were they all recorded, all the books in the world could not contain them. There are many more things that Jesus does. If we were to record them, all the books in the world could not contain them, because he's always doing something. He's always doing something. You just snapped on the radio today, and you are hearing my voice about desire, and desire has led you to the internet, and the internet has led you to pornography. You were made for better than that. You were made for Christ Jesus. You were made to give your life to Christ Jesus because the Father wants to draw you to His Son. There are people listening to me that become of food, you know, that their desire leads them to food. And there's nothing wrong with food, but not to the point that it takes the place of Jesus. There are other people listening to me that their desire has led them to alcohol, and they cannot drink because they're allergic to alcohol because they get drunk. No, the Father wants to draw you to Jesus. There are other people listening to me that buy scratch tickets, one right after the other, thinking that they're going to win the $10,000 or the $100,000. That desire is a false desire. The Father wants to draw you to His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, desire will lead us many places. That's why we need to continue to preach the gospel. Desire will lead us to many places. That's why the gospel must be proclaimed in season and out, when convenient and inconvenient. That's what Paul said to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God to proclaim the gospel in season and out of season, when convenient and when inconvenient. It's so important that the gospel be presented to people so that they can make a choice to follow Jesus, as Andrew and John made a choice to follow Jesus. They left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. It's totally amazing. It's totally amazing. We just see now Simon Peter following Jesus. Then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper. He said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? No, this is the wrong one. I'm sorry. I have to go back to chapter 1. Here it is. Peter is led to Jesus because of Andrew. Andrew witnesses to Jesus, and he beheld him and said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Rock. The day following, Jesus would go forth into the Galilee region, and he finds Philip and says unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, Come and see. You know, come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and see what can come out of Nazareth. I know it's a no town, but you know what? We don't know the whole story. We don't know that he was born in Bethlehem. We don't know that at all. We just know it's Jesus of Nazareth. And our desire has led the four disciples now to Jesus. First of all, John and Andrew, then Peter, and now Nathanael and Philip. That's five. Nathanael said, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see for yourself. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said unto Jesus, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Something must have been happening under that fig tree in his life. Some revelation of God. He was probably studying the law, and some revelation of God came upon Nathanael. And, you know, Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw, we go from can anything good come out of Nazareth to thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you believe you shall see greater things than these. Yeah, you shall see greater things than these, he said. Truly, truly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man. You shall see the Son of Man. Angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's the Jacob vision. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. Jesus is the ladder to heaven. Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder. But we see now Jesus is the one that the angels will ascend and descend. He is the ladder to heaven. All these disciples had desire, and the Father was drawing them to Jesus. My question is, where is your desire drawing you? Where is my desire drawing me? It's very important that our desire draw us to the foot of the cross. It's very important that our desire draw us to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. It's very important that our desire is the desire that the Father draws us to the Son. He draws us to Jesus. If you came to Jesus, it wasn't because you decided to do it only. It was because the Father drew you to his Son, his beloved Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, where does your desire lead you? Where does my desire lead me? You know, I pray that the Lord would convict us of our sin, that the Lord would show us that desire must always lead to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that desire must always lead us to the foot of the cross where Jesus gave his life for us, that desire must always lead us to the power of the Holy Spirit that brings us to Jesus Christ. Where is your desire leading you? Is it leading you to life, or is it leading you to death? So therefore, if it's leading you to death, today is the day to turn around and to repent. 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 And I'm going to read that psalm of repentance that the church gives us every Friday. Every Friday. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge that desire has not led me to Jesus, but someplace else. Against thee, thee alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you love truth in the heart, and in the hidden part, you shall make me to know wisdom. Wash me. Wash me with hyssop, that I shall be clean. Wash me, that I shall be whiter than snow. That only happens in the precious blood of Jesus. When the blood of Jesus is, we allow him to wash us clean. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Listen to this part. This is the most beautiful. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Let's pray it. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit, that I might teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. A clean heart create for me, O Lord, a steadfast spirit renew within me. Listen, where is your desire leading you to today? Take Psalm 51. If your desire is leading you away from God, have mercy on me, O Lord, in your kindness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, put a steadfast spirit within me. Wash me more and more from my guilt, with a spirit of fervor, sustain me. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We have not even begun to pay August bills. Now this is the last day of August, and we have in the bank of our checking account $344. That's it. So please, 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 if this broadcast is a blessing to you, you write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. On Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at Holy Rosary in Winthrop, we have praise and worship. The presence of God has been coming steadily as we've been worshiping God. Come on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to be with us. Come and worship with us. On Saturday at 5:30, we have Mass, and also we pray for the sick after the 5:30 Mass. Again, write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Where does your desire lead? The Father wants to draw you to His Son. No one comes to Jesus unless the Father draw him. Oh, do not wait for tomorrow. This is the day to surrender to the Lord. Surrender, and He will do everything for you. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.